Hi, everybody. This is Kirk. Welcome back to the show. Today, we get to talk with Mr. Wayne Ruding, the CEO of Decentrix. Wayne, can you introduce yourself?
Sure, Kirk. Thank you for having me. This is Wayne Ruding. I'm the CEO of Decentrix, as Kirk introduced. And Decentrix is a company that was fundamentally founded to target emerging technology initiatives, particularly in data analytics. In the evolution of the way we address data analytics, we were working, first of all, with very large volumes of web-based data, which gave us some techniques that were allowed us to determine and analyze, from a business intelligence perspective, very rapidly some of the high-volume data that we see in a web environment. Having come from a historical perspective of working extensively with media industries, Decentrix took that knowledge in web-based initiatives and started to deploy it into broadcasting, advertising, and web-based digital initiatives. And all of that platform was built over the Microsoft stack.
So not only do you have demonstrated business acumen, but you also have some pretty impressive geek street cred. I can't help but notice here in the slide that we're showing the double E major. Tell us a little bit, how did you go from the hardcore geek status over to the captain of industry running, starting businesses?
Well, I guess that sounds a little strange, but the technology bent was just out of a passion I had in early years. But at the same time, I had a huge passion to build my own businesses. And it was kind of a logical progression. Over the past two or three decades, I've built a number of businesses, primarily focused in the, always with software technology execution, but primarily focused on media, entertainment, communications, and in the past decade and a half, web-based initiatives and digital initiatives that are all a part of the emerging media and entertainment business. So it kind of just happened because I wanted to do it, and it's been fun building those businesses. Decentrix is just the latest evolution of that process.
Help me understand a little bit more about the value of media business intelligence over just simple, I guess, reporting from my line of business system. A lot of people view business intelligence as nothing more than generating reports, which is actually different than BI. So help me understand. I mean, those kind of reports, can't I just kind of grab them from my transactional line of business systems?
You know, in reality, you can. Operational and transactional systems do a really nice job with charts and graphs and reports. But there's a fundamental differentiation. They are limited in two really very basic ways. One is those reports are really focused on the day-to-day operations of the business. The whole initiative is how you manage workflow, how do you process transactions quickly, and how you get deliverable result. And the problem that occurs in most businesses, as they become large, as they become complex, these transactional and operational systems become departmental solutions in a much larger organization. It's extraordinarily difficult to roll up reporting and roll up graphs that are corporate-wide initiatives with these systems. They simply weren't designed for it. And the reality is that business intelligence is singularly focused on looking at the corporate requirement of how you collect and accumulate the data from these various departmental silos, bring it together in a cohesive, singular data warehouse where you can then do analysis extraordinarily rapidly. These are not just day-to-day tactical solutions. They are fundamental strategic solutions that are important from a decision support perspective for the senior executives of the company. So they really are addressing totally different problems for totally different reasons. The operation and transactional systems just aren't capable of delivering rapid decision support systems to the corporate infrastructure.
Then rather than going separately to my traffic, billing, and other operational systems in a media and entertainment company, what you're proposing is that the business intelligence then would provide those cross-cutting concerns across those systems so that I can start to analyze data more effectively in my business?
Correct. I mean, if you accumulate all of the granular data from those systems into a single repository, a single data warehouse, then your analysis can span across all the departments. It allows you to roll up in a way that gives you insightful analysis about the heartbeat of the business. It just simply isn't possible to get at that information from the departmental systems without a lot of manual effort, and they just were never designed to do it.
Well, sure. And that helps me understand a little bit more about why business intelligence in general, especially in a media and entertainment company. Help me understand a little bit more about why Decentrix. What sets Decentrix apart in the BI analytics? I mean, a lot of companies admittedly claim BI expertise. Why Decentrix?
What sets us apart is really that we have three decades of experience in our founders that have a really fundamental understanding of the transactional data that's handled by media, entertainment, and communication companies. We grew up in that business. We developed many of the operational and transactional systems, and we understand intimately how they were challenged, but we also understand not only how they were challenged, but what is fundamentally missing from a decision support perspective as far as senior executives in these businesses are concerned. That's really the intrinsic difference. Decentrix understands those businesses, the implementations we do in these businesses is unique because we intimately understand the workflow and the underlying architecture of how the businesses operate.
Okay.
One of the things that we've done to solve this problem is to create pre-built modules that are essentially designed to extract the granular data from transactional systems and bring them into a central data warehouse. You are actually dealing with lots and lots of departmental systems in creating this, and the pre-built modules are essentially designed for very rapid implementation of that extraction and the movement into a data schema, and consequently they're much more cost-effective than an organization attempting to build it themselves.
Well, that's interesting. Let's drill in on that a little more, because I see a lot of M&E companies that focus on, assembling a team where they hire outside expertise, people that understand BI, and then they start to report on those type of projects. So help me understand a little more about, Decentrix versus trying to form my own team. Couldn't I just, form a team of BI experts?
Yes, but it's actually much more complex than that, as it turns out. What generally happens is when organizations attempt to build these data warehouses, these business intelligence initiatives, they'll bring together a team, and in many cases they have to educate the team on the workflow processes. The team is often technically savvy with a great deal of depth of knowledge about the products that they're working with, but they have a very poor knowledge of what the business is all about. Consequently, they can get their designs wrong, they can go down false tracks, they have to backtrack, they often have to rebuild. Typically, business intelligence initiatives in corporations where they're done internally can take 3 to 5 years to execute a project, and often that project is fatally flawed at the end. What we do is we bring in a fast-track methodology that fundamentally allows them to get up and running very, very quickly within a period of 3 to 6 months. They do not have to reinvent the wheel. We understand the transactional data that they're extracting. We understand the problems they're trying to solve. We can give them a working system in a very short period of time. So that translates to cost, that translates to efficiency, it translates to strategic advantage. The other element that I think that's really fundamental about our solution too is the fact that it's open. The whole proposition that we make to our customers is that This is not a closed architecture. This is built on the Microsoft stack. Our data schemas, our cubes are totally open. We actually train the in-house staff to be able to manage them and to modify them. And consequently, we transfer the knowledge. We actually empower the organization to extend and enhance the opportunity they have with the solution.
And that's an interesting proposition, because instead of the 3 to 5 years, what you're saying is 3 to 6 months. That's pretty incredible. And not only are you providing the pre-built modules for them to be able to interact with and training them, but keeping the focus on that you're actually talking to their systems, their data. You're not replacing their systems. You're talking to their existing systems.
Correct, their data, and not only their data, be able to get analysis that they've never been able to get before. There's some extraordinary complexities about the way the data operates in media that creates very confusing outcomes in the way in which people often attempt to report on it. We basically bring a totally working environment that's up and running, that's insightful, is tick and tied, can be absolutely reconciled from an audit perspective back to the original data, and gives them a certainty about the outcome in the environment. And for the first time, they're seeing some tools they've never seen before.
And we've talked about these pre-built modules a couple times during the interview, where let's say if I'm in a large media and entertainment company working on a traffic system which logs commercial airtime, help me understand, what can Decentrix offer me in that situation?
Well, the fact is the traffic system is going to work perfectly fine in its day-to-day operation. In many of these organizations, they've been working on the same systems for as much as 20, 30 years. That may seem extraordinary for software solutions, but these are complex mission-built systems, and they work perfectly fine day-to-day in these organizations. What's necessary in order to build this decision support system that's a corporate-wide data warehouse, you need to be able to extract the data from all of these source systems that have existed at a departmental level. And these include things like our media-based module, which extracts basic traffic data, not from single systems, but from multiple systems, so that in some of these more complex organizations, you may find 5 or 6 or even 7 or 8 different generations of technology from totally different vendors, and you have to be able to bring that information in a cohesive way into a single data warehouse to be able to report on it coherently across all of those elements of the business. It includes real-time loading so that people can see essentially minute-by-minute updates, program profitability so they can determine the programs they've purchased, when they air, do they in fact get commercial revenue from advertising that gives them a return on investment. That's really fundamental stuff. Accounts receivable. Well, why would we want to report on accounts receivable? Because we want to see what the trend is in the business. Interactive TV, IPTV, this is an emerging initiative that's becoming very important to all of these businesses. Revenue maximization is really an optimization yield management module that's targeted at very similar problems that airlines or hotels address. How do you fill seats? How do you fill beds? In the broadcast media world, it's how do you fill commercial slots and do it at the highest possible price. But you don't let the inventory be unsold, because when the plane takes off, there are empty seats. When a broadcast program goes to air, if there are empty slots, it's lost revenue. Proposal modules, website ad revenue modules, they've all got website initiatives. They all need that analysis. Campaign performance, what you're looking there is looking at audience data, and you're trying to figure out the audience that is viewing a commercial, what their demographic is, how many eyeballs that are actually seeing the ad, because that's all about pricing. It's all about how you price the advertising. These are all very key elements and are generally done by disparate systems. independent systems across the organization. It needs to be pulled together into a single cohesive data warehouse. You can see that on the left of the screen here, we've got program rights ownership, research, accounting, master control automation, which handles the on-air automation, linear traffic, we have digital web revenue, proposals, website visitors. All of these source systems, and there may be multiple systems within any of these categories, in our data structures, these are bought into staging schemas. These are predefined staging schemas where any of these source systems can be mapped into the staging area. And from that staging area, we have predefined media ETL, media-specific ETL, which transforms and sanitizes that data into a media-specific star schema, which is built on the Microsoft stack. Over the media star data schema, we have OAP cubes that are built. It may be single, it may be multiple cubes. And those cubes provide the rapid analytical opportunities that business intelligence is capable of providing. We deploy that through MPort. Now, MPort layer is our media analysis portal, and that is all built over the SharePoint layer. So essentially, end-to-end, from our extraction process through the deployment into the data warehouse with the construction of the cubes and the distribution of the information to desktops to push reporting, is all done by Microsoft Stack, and at the top level is the SharePoint layer.
You mentioned that a couple of times, built on SharePoint, built on SQL, built on the Microsoft Stack. Help me understand why. Why Microsoft? You had your choice of multiple vendors to choose from, to target. Why Microsoft?
Why do we use the Microsoft technology? It really is quite fundamental to us. We extensively researched this before we decided on the platforms that we were going to execute with. And one of the real challenges in media is many-to-many relationships. Many-to-many relationships are extraordinarily challenging to handle in a data warehouse, and they are fundamentally intrinsic to some of the things that occur in the way media is sold and the way it gets analyzed. If it's not done correctly, what happens is financial numbers can be rolled up multiple times. They can double or they can triple or they can quadruple because you haven't been thoughtful about handling how these many media data relationships work. That's a very fundamental issue that we have absolutely addressed. And we were only able to address it because it was possible to do within the SQL 2008 environment. The SQL 2008 environment also handles complex media calculated measures in some very unique ways. It's an extraordinarily powerful tool. It handles high transaction volumes, which is really quite fundamental to the whole initiative. And it handles advanced media pacing. Now, what do we mean by advanced media pacing? One of the things that's really important when you're selling out inventory, it doesn't matter whether you're selling out seats on an airline, beds in a hotel, or advertising slots in a media operation, you need to be able to determine how you're pacing historically in selling out that inventory versus historical points in time. If you cannot do that accurately, you can't determine whether you have a likelihood of selling out all your inventory when the plane takes off or the broadcast program goes to air. And the objective always is to maximize your revenue by utilizing 100% of your inventory. So advanced media pacing was really an intrinsic problem that was addressed extraordinarily well in the Microsoft technology.
And I see an interesting point here, media forecasting. What do you mean by that?
Well, sophisticated media forecasting is taking media pacing, revenue pacing, a step further. What you're actually doing in a forecasting situation is you're attempting to analyze history to be able to determine the behavior of advertisers, how they buy time, how they place time, so that you can be predictive about the way they're going to behave in the future. So forecasting becomes a highly theoretical concept, but it can actually be quantified by utilizing some very clever algorithms that allow you to use historical trend data to be able to be predictive about the way behavior is going to occur in the future. If you can do that sensibly, then what happens is you're able to change the rates at which you are preparing to charge for your services in such a way that you maximize revenue. You don't simply sell inventory out, you maximize revenue. And this is what the next bullet point is all about. It results in the ability to create a revenue maximization outcome.
And that gets back to the analogy that we had before about the empty seats on an airplane. If you don't sell commercials within a broadcast company, then that's lost revenue.
Absolutely. That's totally correct.
Is it a factor that Microsoft kind of bundles all the BI capabilities, OLAP Engine and SQL and BI and Office? Is that a factor for adoption or selling your product to customers? I mean, since they don't have to buy a separate BI stack?
No question that that is an important point. Many organizations, the vast majority of organizations, already have adoption of the technology that we're basically utilizing here. There is definitely a cost of acquisition issue that makes it much easier to adopt. But what we're also seeing from a practical perspective is that in many cases they have adopted other technologies, but the simple fact that this exists as a background process, its purchasing decision may not have been driven by business intelligence, may not have been driven by an ability to create a data warehouse. They may have made another purchasing decision on Oracle or DB2 or one of the other technologies, and they may be deploying initiatives already. This allows us actually to penetrate into the organization side by side without necessarily displacing initiatives, but creating new opportunities that wouldn't otherwise exist. So I think it's a very powerful driver for the Microsoft technology.
And along those lines then, a lot of the companies that you're working with some pretty big name companies.
The customers are really some of the major groups that are out there. They include ABC Network, the Fox Network, CBS Television Station Group, CBS Radio, Cablevision, Comcast, Dish Network are all clients, and these are kind of the who's who in North America of some of the biggest media companies that exist. We solved the problem very swiftly, but we also provided an open system that allowed them to be able to manipulate, enhance, evolve their own product. It doesn't mean that they walk away from us from a support environment, but it does mean that they feel like they're in control of their own destiny. That they have the ability to be able to be proactive in a way that they perhaps wouldn't be if they attempted to go it alone. Compared with them doing their own in-house build, it's less expensive, it's far faster to create a turnkey result, and meaningful results where they can reduce risk with a much richer outcome. Now, a question that often gets asked too is, you know, why us? There is an interesting element. There is a high degree of trust in Decentrix in the media industry. The reason is that we're not guys that have just flown in from Mars. We've been around for a significant amount of time. We have proven track record with people who understand the industry intimately. We talk the language. We have a deep media experience. We understand the solutions they work with. And we have a track record of delivering what we promised to deliver. And that has a huge impact in the way in which people treat us and why they're willing to embrace us and bring us into their organization.
Wayne, this has been really intriguing. Are we going to see a live demonstration in part two?
Yes, you are. And actually, the presenter is going to be Dr. Michael Ledwich, who heads up our consulting services group. Michael has a very deep knowledge in the media business and has been working on these kinds of analytics model in the media business for probably close to 15 years now. Probably doesn't like me saying that, but he has very deep, extensive knowledge, and he was there in the early days, and he is a passionate advocate of the Microsoft technology.
And where can people go to learn more about Decentrix and Bioanalytics?
You know, it's really easy. We have some contact details up here in the slide, of course. Decentrix.com is a primary source of information, but if you want to drill down on the Bioanalytics initiative itself, an additional source that links off the site or can be directly accessed is www.bioanalytics.com, and that is a really nice drill down on what we can do in this business.
Wayne, this has been a great interview. I've learned a lot about media and business intelligence, and I love hearing about what Decentrix is doing with the Bioanalytics solution. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Kirk, and I really appreciate you having me here. So thank you for